let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you, Lord. Lord, this is the day that you've made. We rejoice. We're glad in it, Lord. You've visited us. You've ministered to us. You've strengthened our hearts. You've reminded us, Lord, that you are with us. Lord, the work is finished. You make your dwelling in us, Lord, and it's not by our power or might. It's your spirit, Lord. Lord, you've made these truths that we've known alive in us, alive and fresh in us, Lord. And we all need it. I know I needed it this morning, Lord. And I know we all do, Lord. We need these reminders, these refreshers from you, Lord. So we thank you for that. Now, Lord, as we open your word and we look into your word, we pray, Lord, that you'll give us revelation, understanding. Lord, enlighten our eyes so that we can see. And Lord, you say you want us filled to overflowing, that we would be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what you tell us in Ephesians, Lord. So Lord, may it happen today in Jesus' name. May we see it manifest in our lives today. You said it, it's done. Now Lord, we stand our ground and we see this manifestation come to pass by your word, by your spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Well, thank you, Lord. Well, last week we started a brand new series, and it's called Life Above the Natural, Life Above the Natural. And just as a very short refresher, a couple of our foundation scriptures that we want to cling to during this time. One comes from Romans 8, and I've abbreviated it partly, but it's Romans 8, 5 through 9. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity. And I looked that word up. Enmity means hostility, hatred, opposition. The carnal mind is enmity, hatred, hostility, and opposition against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? Are you a believer? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord? The Spirit of God dwells in you. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's who you are. That's how you operate. We need to understand that. I am a child of God. I am a brand new creature in Christ. The Spirit of God dwells in me. I am no longer in the flesh. I'm in the Spirit. And listen to this. John 15, 19, the Lord was talking to his disciples, and this is what he told them. You are not of this world. You are not of this world. You are not of this world. I need to remind myself of that. I am not of this world because this world is trying to make me one of its own. How does it do that, David? Well, when I'm watching the ball game, the world's talking. All these commentators, you know, they're not preaching the gospel. They're talking about this, that, and the other thing, right? Just carnal stuff, athletics and sports. Nothing grossly sinful. Carnal doesn't mean sinful necessarily. Carnal is just of the flesh. Chili? You like chili? You like meat with your chili? Chili con carne? Chili with meat. Carne just means meat. And we had a pastor years ago that says, you know, where the scripture tells us to don't be mindful of the flesh. Don't be mindful of the flesh. Don't have the carnal on your mind. Don't be like, oh, what's his name? Way back that TV show. Don't be a meathead. Don't be mindful of, so mindful of the carnal things that that's all you think about. Right? But that's what the world wants us to do. And frankly, I want to give you a little bit more history. Can I give you just a little bit more history? Because I had a whole page of notes last week talking about Napoleon, and I don't want to weigh you down with it. I know y'all don't like history. You don't like to remember dates. Well, I don't have any dates here to remember. But this is important because since the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension of the Lord, the church age began then, didn't it? And we're continuing. We're still in the church age. And I've been arguing for months now that nothing has changed since that ascension, since the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, a new era began, a new age began, and it hasn't ended. We're still in that age of grace. It started, it's continuing, it hasn't changed. Who am I to say that the rules have changed, that the promises have changed, that the gifts have changed? Who am I? Who is any man to say God has changed when he tells us that he doesn't change? I mean, those are fighting words when you say God has changed. He hasn't changed. I am the Lord. Somebody help me. I change not. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, forever. Is it important to remember that? It is extremely important to remember that because the whole world is telling you different, and so many in the church world want to say the same thing as the world. Let me give you a little bit more information. We talked about this man, the scientist from France, way back in like the 1700s, it's really the early 1800s. I think Napoleon was like very early 1800s. So this guy named Laplace was talking to Napoleon, was asking him about his new book on the creation of all things, the creation of the universe. And Napoleon specifically asked him, he liked to put people on the spot. He said, Mr. Laplace, I've read your book, I've perused it. I see that you've discussed the whole creation of all things, of the universe in your book, and yet you did not mention the name of God one time. Why? That was Napoleon's question to him. Why? And Mr. Laplace responded to Napoleon, I have no need for that hypothesis. I have no need for that hypothesis. And that's where science started to walk away from God. Because Isaac Newton, he was a scientist, was he not? Don't we credit him for discovering gravity when he was sitting there thinking, scratching his head about the apples falling and one hit him on the head? Gravity. He was a scientist. Brilliant people. I mean, folks in the old days they were so much smarter than we are today in so many ways. But Laplace was his same era. I wouldn't call him a colleague, but he was, you know, working the same type of scientific research about the same time frame. So he started this idea that science and religion had to part ways. They had to divide. And so as we move forward in time, I'm going to read some bullet point notes. Man's endeavor to eliminate God or the need for God fell into a philosophy that was popular in the 18th century called Enlightenment. 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 Have you heard of that term in your life? Enlightenment. Well, the Lord tells us in Scripture, in the Ephesians prayer, in I think it's chapter 1 or chapter 3, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. That we would know the hope of his calling. We would know all these great things God's given us, and they're calling this walk away from God enlightenment. They're not getting in line, they're going into darkness. Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah 60, talks about darkness covering the earth and gross darkness covering the people. But the glory of the Lord will rise up in you. The Lord spoke to us a while ago about that. The glory of the Lord is enlightenment. And yet science has been walking away from God. Enlightenment held that God's existence is no longer necessary because he had been supplanted by science. Now, what have we been hearing these last few years? Science this, science that. Science this, science that. We've been hearing a lot of it. Here's another philosophical viewpoint, agnosticism. You've heard that, agnosticism? Another philosophical viewpoint held that, it is impossible for science or philosophy to acquire knowledge of the metaphysical realm. So it's a slightly different view, metaphysical realm of God. Metaphysical, above the physical realm. It was declared that all knowledge must be restricted to the realm of the natural. That's what agnostics believe. All knowledge must be restricted to the realm of the natural. And then two more bullet points. 19th century, we're progressing over the timeline of history. We're in the 19th century now. 19th century liberalism denied all of the supernatural elements of the Christian faith, including the virgin birth of Jesus, his miracles, his atoning death, and his resurrection. The supernatural was stripped altogether from Christianity. The impact of liberalism and neoliberalism on the church left it basically as a worldly, nature-bound religion that sought refuge in a humanitarian social agenda. This is the approach to Christianity that has all but completely captured many of today's mainline Christian churches throughout the world. You strip the supernatural out of faith, what are you left with? Good works, or trying to do good works. There's nothing wrong with good works, but that follows the faith. Faith without works is dead. But it drives the engine. It drives the engine. Praise God. So I wanted to just sort of complete the thought that I started last week. Where are we? The Lord asks a question. He said, when I return, and I'm paraphrasing, we're going to look up, help me find the scripture. I don't have it cited. He says this, when I return, will I find faith on the earth? Have you read that? Have you seen that? That's a question the Lord has. When I return, will I find faith on the earth? Well, I've made up my mind, and I know you have too. He's going to find faith in me. He's going to find faith in me. If there's a four-wall church building that doesn't contain it, I'll be out in the cornfield. I'll have faith in me. I'll be wherever I am. I'll have faith in me if I'm alone. And I believe that's what every Christian must decide, that God, I have the faith of the Lord in me. He tells us, have the faith of God. In Mark chapter 11, about verse 22. Have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. If he's telling us to have the faith of God, then the faith of God is possible in me. He wouldn't tell me to do something that's not possible. So he's telling us, have my faith. Have my faith. And I'm going to read you a scripture. I think it's time to do that. We're talking about, and I thank David Cobb for helping me with the title. I don't think I wrote the outline that he mentioned. But the shadow of the cross. We have our crosses set up over there. We got brand new lights. Do you see a shadow? I do too. And that sparked the thought with David, and he shared it with me. The shadow of the cross. The shadow of the cross extends throughout all human history. It just began in Jerusalem in 30 AD. It's been throughout all of history. Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He told, God told the serpent in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. First messianic prophecy given in Scripture about how you'll bruise his heel. Well, he's going to crush your head. He's going to crush your authority. He's going to take back everything that you've stolen from Adam. He's going to give it to his people. So, I want to share this scripture from Galatians 2:20. I need to turn there. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. This is every believer. This is you. This is me. This is every believer. This is what we need to declare. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. David, the cross, the cross, the cross. You're talking a lot about the cross lately. Well, listen, we are our whole... How did I get here? How did I get into God's kingdom? How did I go from lost to saved? How did I go from an enemy of God to a friend of God? How did that happen? It happened because of that cross. I am not his enemy anymore. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am not carnal-minded. I'm spiritual-minded. How's that? Because of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross that he shed his blood on. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. How did that happen? The cross. The cross. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Is it really that important, David, to talk about the cross? Let's see. Is it important to Jesus? Zechariah 13:6 gives you an indication, if you'll peel back the layers and just think about this scripture. Put yourself in the Lord's shoes for a moment. Is it important to think about the cross, to know about the cross, to have the cross on my mind? And Jesus said in Zechariah 13:6, "And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." The Lord has those wounds from the cross forever. Forever. Is it important to him? Every time he reaches his hand out to take your hand to lift you up in this life, there's that wound. There's that wound from the cross. In his glory, sitting next to the Father, his hands on the armrest, let's say, of his throne. There's his wounds. Your hands are very important. You can't function well without them. You're doing so much with them all the time. They're part of you. Think, just put yourself in the, is this cross important? He's going to have those wounds forever. Why? Why? It has to be important to him. It has to be important. Therefore, it has to be important to me. I must understand that this cross is very important. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And we're going to take communion here in just a few minutes, and my time is short. But I want to point to Genesis chapter 22. Let's move there real quick. Genesis chapter 22. This is the episode that I mentioned last week in passing. Verse 8. And Abraham said, this is when the Lord told Abraham to take your son and go sacrifice. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. God himself will provide himself a lamb. Verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad. You know the story. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. Folks, we need to look up. We need to look up. I needed that word this morning. Look up, David. We don't go by how we feel. We go by our faith. The Lord said to this, stop hooking your faith to your feelings. Stop hooking your faith to your feelings. Your feelings don't matter. Your feelings don't lead. I didn't feel that great this morning. I don't know why. Something just right here wasn't right. Don't hook your faith to your feelings. Hook your feelings to your faith. Hook your feelings to your faith. Sometimes we just need to just listen. Just listen. Stop and listen to what the Lord has to say. He spoke to me this morning. TC, thank you for playing. He spoke to me this morning. You know what he said? Three words. I got this. I got this. That's essentially what he told Abraham. Abraham, I got this. God will provide himself the lamb. And to finish that off, he lifted his eyes, and here, the ram, caught in the thicket by his horns. By his horns. And without getting into the Jonathan Kahn type of study, those horns in Scripture mean power and authority. Huh? Power and authority. And that ram was caught in the thicket. 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 And what are we not supposed to do when we're planting seeds? We're not supposed to let the thickets of life choke the word. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust for other things, we cannot allow it to choke the word. But why? We're fixing to take communion. What are the two things that we are to remember? The blood of Jesus, the body of Jesus. The blood of the New Testament, the new covenant that we stand in. You stand in a covenant that is as strong as the blood of Jesus. And there is nothing stronger in the universe than his blood. That blood never loses its power. Never loses its power. It cleanses every sin that these old carnalities crop up in our lives every now and then. Dog, get off me, dog. Get, dog. We kick the dog or step on the cat's tail or. Y'all don't get mad at home, do you? Carrie and I made a commitment to one another. Our home is a stress-free, No strife zone. No strife zone in our home. Is that what we call it, Carrie? It's been so long, we've had no strife, so I don't remember it. We don't have to yell at to each other. No strife zone! Look, my point is that those horns, to me, the Lord just telling me, David, my blood, my body, for you, for my church. The shadow of the cross has been cast over all the Old Testament, all the New Testament. Jesus himself forever is going to have the wounds in his hand to show what he did. Friends, let's not ever, ever, ever shy away from the cross of Jesus Christ. We live a life that's crucified to this world. We are not enemies of God. We're not carnal-minded and enemies of God in hostility to him. No, we mind the things of the Spirit. We mind the things of God. We remind ourselves just how important he is to us. His word, his power, his glory, forever. Amen. Oh, that's such a beautiful song. That bridge right there, that is just so beautiful and it speaks such truth. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. Amen. Praise God. Can you say amen with me? Well, Don, I'm going to pray, close this out, but if you can gather your men. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, you are so good to us. We just... praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Lord, we just sit at your feet. Now, Lord, as we prepare to receive communion, Lord, we are reminded, Lord, of the great sacrifice that you gave us, that you did for us. But, Lord, it is a work that's finished. It is a work that's finished, Lord, and it is finished in us. You've reminded us that we are complete in you. And so, Lord, as we partake of the elements this morning, Lord, we examine our hearts. If there be anything in me, Lord, not pleasing with you, reveal it to me so that I can rid myself of it, Lord. I want to be holy, wholly pleasing to you, completely pleasing to you, Lord, in every area of my life, Lord, in every area. We give you glory and honor and praise and thanks for your mighty presence here, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever. Amen. 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 In this world and in our lives, Lord, and we declare it out loud, yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever, forever, forever. And we, Lord, we share this word as we go forth this week. We share it, Lord. We shout it from the rooftops, Lord. And we give you praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are dismissed. We will be back Wednesday night. Miss Peggy's got a wonderful word on her trip to Honduras. So go out with joy. Be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will do what? Break forth. There it is. They're breaking forth. Amen. Have a great week.